This.
Jason, guide me.
Okay, so it'd be prudent now to entertain public comment. At the conclusion of that, we can take more board questions and more interaction, and then we'll wrap up after that.
Good. Okay, good. And Marsha, you'll be up first when we talk. Okay, so thank you. Bill Tippetts, followed by Derry Pence. Now, there's a pair to draw to. Okay, so go ahead, Bill.
Good afternoon, Port, commissioners, staff, and consultants. Bill Tippetts, 5850 Soledad Mountain Road, San Diego. I've participated in this integrated planning process since the beginning. I really appreciate what the Port has allowed the consultants to do to come up with some innovative, futuristic ideas. So that part we support, and I don't speak for the other environmental organizations. This is purely my personal input, and I will put it in writing eventually. I think smart development around the bay is critical to the port and the region. No one doubts that. No one is going to contest that. But keep in mind that the bay has lost 41% of its shallow subtidal habitats, 70% of its salt marshes, 74% of its natural shoreline, and 84% of its intertidal wetlands. That's a lot of loss. And I didn't see a whole lot. I know this is about leasing and development, but it seems like the leasing and development is really leapfrogging and would probably constrain the existing habitat, let alone create any more, which is, I think, going to be a problem unless some sort of balancing can be discussed as you proceed. So, but one of the most important things and interesting things that's come out of the early work is that the current allocation of land uses and development can be made much more efficient, as the consultants have really, I think, hammered home that point, that there's a lot of inefficiencies that could be made a lot better. What that translates to, we're not sure. In addition, you can also acquire land outside the tidelands. This is inland port issue, which also gives you more flexibility, all of which we think would be really useful to restructure and relocate some of the development and revenue potential. In addition, what I haven't heard anything really about is the fact that there is sea level rise, there is a future that also includes that. And I know this is about leasing and development, but that has to incorporate what the potential effects from sea level rise are. I think it's a very important thing to continue to think about, and it should result in prudent decisions and predictable decisions about where to reconsider development and open space. And similar to the efficiency relocations mentioned above, the port should consider the benefits of allowing tidelands subject to the most potential sea level and flooding effects to be prioritized for wetland conservation and expansion and recreational activities. Increases in recreational open space and wetlands would be consistent with the findings that more open space and parks are needed, as well as with the port and the Navy's approved, adopted INRMP, which highlights the fact that there's been huge deficiencies and losses of habitat and a need to create more of those wetland habitats. I think you need to keep that in mind. It's very important. It's one the document you and the Navy have both approved. I'll finish here certainly soon. Certain portions of the bay should not be considered appropriate as leasable and developable areas, such as the Otay River and adjacent areas, Pond 20, areas identified for conservation in the Chula Vista Bayfront Plan, and I might add some portions of North Bay and Central Bay you might be able to allow for some expansion. I don't think it should be all developed. There ought to be something in terms of the natural habitat left out there. You could even find some places to potentially increase it a bit. And then, as the port has noted previously, and it's talked about a lot, it'll be critical to coordinate and partner with the Bay cities and agencies to gain their support for the port's potential development. And I realize this is not what you intend to do. This is merely exploratory and looking at things. And so I think we all need to keep that in mind. But it's going to be a huge amount of work to even do half of this unless the cities are in partnership with you. So we really want to see that, and if you have a predictable and clear master plan, that's going to make it a lot easier for the cities to figure out how they can work with you. And I think that's very important to provide some predictability. One last thing I'll mention is, there was a question asked earlier about what's the value of open space and all that. Well, I worked for the Department of Fish and Game for 11 years, and I went head-to-toe with developers all the time. Every time we finished a development, what happened was the little areas of open space we fought for, and sometimes got a little bit more, every time that development was finished, the next thing that came out was a marketing brochure which touted the value of that development being adjacent to open space land, and it increased the value of those lots adjacent to open space land. You've got this beautiful thing where you've got all this water and tide lands adjacent to development areas. You can make advantage of that. I think the consultants can show you how to make that an economic opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Derry Pence, followed by Kayla Race. Bill, did you ever play hockey?
No.
Oh, different Bill Tippett. Oh, never mind.